This is Pastor Emery. There are three radio broadcasts reproduced on this tape. The first one will include the announcer's introduction at the beginning and his close at the end, just as you would hear it on the radio. Then, to save your time, the announcer will be left off the last two. During the broadcast, you will hear me offer free monthly literature, and I will state the month. Please do not write for that literature packet as such. You may be hearing these tapes months, even years, after the original broadcast was made.
Thank you. Yes, this is Pastor Emery. We here in Arizona have recently completed a three-day Bible preaching convention. We had ministers and other speakers from various parts of the nation here for a series of seven public meetings on Bible prophecy. Our church group here hosted the meetings, and we had chosen as our theme for the meetings the 27th verse of Isaiah 14. Turn with me to that passage, and I want to read four verses. These four verses speak very definitely of the sovereignty of God, of the intent and purpose and ability of God to bring to pass that which He has spoken. Starting in verse 24 of Isaiah 14, "The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him under foot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations." And then the verse which was given as our preaching theme, "For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" This is a very comforting thought, once one begins to grasp this truth, that all of the events of this time are in the hand of God. Jesus said in Matthew 27:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." In John 16:33, he said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Paul writes to Christian believers in Ephesians 3, and verse 10 and 11, speaking of understanding the Word of God, "to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." In just a moment or so, I am going to turn to the New Testament Scriptures to show you how and where we can learn just what it is that God has purposed, and how we can better understand the things which are happening in the earth today, especially in our own nation. First, I want to offer our new packet of free literature for the month of May. I'm going to call this our health packet. I'm not going to be talking too much about health on these programs, but because of all the fuss about flu and vaccinations and epidemics and so forth, I do believe we should try and get this information in your hands as quickly as possible. If you are concerned for your own health and that of your family, you write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and ask for our May packet of literature. It will include such things as an article titled "Pestilence in America," which is about the smoking of tobacco. Nearly 300,000 Americans die each year from diseases brought on themselves by the poisons in tobacco. You will also receive a 20-page excerpt from a 900-page book written 100 years ago by one of the last century's most famous American doctors, Dr. Edward B. Foote. We couldn't reproduce it all, but we did take out 20 pages to show that many of the things Dr. Foote taught 100 years ago are of vital importance to us today. There is no question but that the general health of our people has substantially deteriorated in the last 100 years, and this 20-page reprint will give you some of the reasons why. We have another small article on blood transfusions, giving some evidence that blood transfusions probably kill more people than they save, and are very possibly one of the leading sources of disease among accident victims. Doctors seem to have no answer for the tens of thousands of victims of accidents who enter our hospitals each year with injuries which are obviously not fatal, but who, shortly after being given blood transfusions in the hospital, develop any one of several diseases and then die not from the accident injury, but from the disease. In spite of the probability that they may have received the disease through the transfusion of diseased blood, the doctors continue to take the blood from drunks, drug addicts, and from the venereal-infected derelict on Skid Row, and then transfer that blood into the veins of hospital patients all over America. You will also receive a reprint of several pages of a larger book on vaccinations and inoculations. The larger book is now out of print. We have only a few copies available, and we are reprinting a little of the more pertinent information for our radio listeners. You should read this before you submit yourself or your children to the so-called flu vaccination planned by the medical profession. As of this date, they admit they don't even know for sure what causes the flu, but here they have a vaccine for it already. The same doctors, the same government, the same research laboratories have had millions of cancer patients for their research over a period of more than a quarter of a century, and they seem not to have found what causes it, let alone a cure, but a strange type of flu comes along. They wave their magic wand and presto chingu, abracadabra, they not only have a vaccine for it, they have warehouses full of it, ready to go in less than 90 days. Friends, it just doesn't make sense, neither medical sense nor scientific sense. It may make economic sense at $5 to $15 from every adult in America, but it just doesn't make any medical sense at all. But you send for this month's health packet, and I will practically guarantee you will not let them put the flu poison in your bloodstream under the guise of keeping you from getting the flu. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." We are also told in Genesis 9:3 and in God's law not to eat blood. Injecting the infected and diseased blood of animals into your veins by calling it a vaccination doesn't change that blood from unclean to clean. In fact, it may be more dangerous injected into your bloodstream than it would be taken into your digestive tract. In your digestive tract, there are some natural and effective body functions which will throw it off. But injected directly into your blood, it goes immediately to your life organs and deposits the disease and the toxins there. We've some other things in the May health packet. I won't take time to list them here, but they are all free. Just write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and ask for the May health packet. It just may save your life. In John's third epistle, he wrote in verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." That is my wish for my radio listeners also. That is the reason for this packet. And by the way, we recorded all of the speakers at our Bible conference here in Phoenix. One of them was an hour-long discussion on health, and we'll send you the list of the tapes. You can then write for any which you might want to listen to. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Now, getting back to the Bible, to see how best we can learn what God has purposed upon the earth so that we need not fear in the days and years ahead. We Americans, especially some of us older ones, who now see government directions, laws, edicts, court decisions and opinions, wiping out individual freedom and fastening the chains of dictatorship upon our people, may feel we have good reason to be fearful and afraid of what we see coming to pass. Jesus Christ told his disciples that this present age would close in such a time of terror and tribulation that men's hearts would fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Luke 21:26. He said that in answer to their question as to what the signs would be of his return to the earth. 21, Jesus described the end of this age this way, Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It would be the greatest time of trouble the world had ever seen, and no greater would ever come after. Now some Christians read these passages, or hear them preached, and they hope their deliverance will be in their removal from the earth before such a time would ever come to pass. But as Jesus went on in Matthew 24 to continue his answer to the disciples' questions, he referred further to his return to the earth and said this in verse 45 through verse 47. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. So the servants of Christ are supposed to be found giving Christ's household meat in due season when Jesus returns, and they will be rewarded for doing that when he comes. What is this which we are supposed to be doing? Now, the Bible speaks often of meat, and it doesn't always mean physical food. In John 4, verse 32, Jesus said to his disciples, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. When they thought he meant food, he told them in verse 34, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. He enlarged on this further in the 6th chapter in verse 27, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. In verse 32 and 33, Jesus spoke of himself, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. In verse 35 he says, I am the bread of life. So we see here, and in many other places in the New Testament, that meat and bread have a spiritual meaning as well as a literal. In 1 Corinthians 3:2 and again in Hebrews 5, Paul speaks of the deep things of the Word of God as being meat in contrast to the simple things called milk. I believe that most professing Christians in America are fed on milk. They have never gotten into the meat of the Word of God, and many will be greatly terrified of the events which come in the months and years ahead. Understanding the sovereignty of God comes from the meat of the Word. It is the meat, the great and mighty things of God's Word, which we will need in order to stand in these last days. It is understanding what the will of God is and the purpose of God that will give us not only the comfort of His sovereignty, but the power to understand and to stand in the face of adversity and opposition from our enemies. Paul wrote to the Christians in Hebrews 5, somewhat of a rebuke to those who had not searched into the deeper things of the Scriptures. He wrote of Jesus Christ as the new high priest in Israel in the first 10 chapters, and right in the middle of this discourse on Jesus, he inserted this warning to his hearers, starting in verse 11 of chapter 5. Of whom, meaning Jesus, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Paul said, I have many things to tell you of Jesus, but you can't understand very well. And then he tells him why. Verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Paul said, you should be teachers of God's word. Instead, you have to be taught, and you can't even stand the meat of the word. You've got to be taught with milk all over again. Verse 13, for every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I would say those verses fit the vast majority of churchgoers. They are fed a steady diet of milk, the simple rudiments of the Word of God every week, and they never do get into the meat of God's Bible. Here Paul calls them unskillful in the Word of righteousness. He then goes on about the meat of the Word, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How about that? The desired result of feeding on the meat of the Word is to be able to discern both good and evil. If we are unable to tell the difference between good and evil, then God's people, even though they are Christians, will make wrong decisions, will do wrong things, and will suffer the consequences of their error. Paul did not say those who were fed on milk were not Christians, but he called them babes. He said they were unskillful in the word of righteousness. To teach the meat of God's word is the purpose of America's Promise radio broadcast. You remember last week, I read an excerpt from a sermon by a minister in early America, and he said that the Americans saw the coming of tyranny at a distance, especially those who were schooled in the books of the prophets. In other words, they could tell the difference between good government and evil government, not because of some sixth sense, but because they had learned God's word in the books of the prophets. And so, America must learn God's word today. We must learn the meat of it, and not continually keep our people babes in Christ by restricting their diet to milk. Writing to the Corinthians, Paul spoke to them in somewhat the same manner. In chapter 3, he wrote, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And here is that word babes again. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And then he goes right on in verse 3 and says, you can't bear it, for ye are yet carnal. In other words, while still being fed on a diet of the milk of the word, they had not developed spiritually. They were not able to learn and understand the things of a spiritual nature. Now, you think with me as I read the next verses of Paul's proof that they were yet carnal. Verse 3 of chapter 3 of Corinthians. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Today we call those divisions in Christendom denominations. In other words, proof that most of our Christians today are babes, proof that they know little of the meat of the Word of God or of spiritual things, is in their separations or they're dividing into groups. Verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal? Or to read that in today's vernacular, for while one saith, I am a follower of the Baptists, and another saith, I am a follower of the Methodists, are ye not yet carnal? Separation and division in the church today is so common, it is hard to tell a person, you are a Christian, without having to answer with a denominational name. And according to Paul here, the reason they are divided is because they are being fed milk and not meat. And that also answers as to why the denominational churches do not see or understand or preach about the evil and wicked things coming upon our nation and our people. Not being fed meat, they cannot discern between good and evil, just as Paul said in Hebrews 5:14. That is why Jesus stressed so much the necessity of his household being fed with meat in due season. In the first chapter of that letter to the Corinthians, Paul had rebuked the Christians, telling them in verse 10, to all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you. The margin says that word divisions is schisms, which is the same as our modern word denomination. In verse 12 he says, one says he follows Paul, and one Apollos, and one Cephas, and one Christ. They apparently were already following men, just as in Christendom today, they are divided into all sorts of groups and denominations formed around the teachings of men, instead of being one in Christ and holding to the pure teachings of the Word of God. In the second chapter of that letter, he implies that until they get out from their divisions, they cannot understand the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 7. In verse 10, he calls this mystery, or hidden wisdom, the deep things of God. Paul also referred to this mystery in his letter to the Romans. He is closing the letter, and he writes in verse 25 and 26, thusly, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, or made known, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. How did Paul say the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, was made known or manifested? Well, by the scriptures of the prophets. What did Paul say of Christians who got into the meat of the word? He said they could discern between good and evil. What did the colonial preacher say? He said Americans discerned the approach of tyranny because they were schooled in the books of the prophets. Putting all of this together that we have covered so far in this broadcast, it seems obvious that the wisdom which American Christians need so badly for this day and this time must come from a study of the scriptures of the prophets. And by and large, that is exactly what they are not getting in the denominations. Meat in due season is prophecy for the time in which we live. End-time prophecy preached in the end time, if you please. And that is what we shall preach as God gives us strength and wisdom to do so. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. God Almighty has stated rather clearly his power to bring about his will in the earth. At the same time, he has told us this age would end with a terrible time of trouble which would involve believers. And Jesus Christ and his disciples have pointed us to the scriptures of the prophets where we may gain understanding and calm our fears. If you will continue to listen to these broadcasts, you will see from God's words spoken through his prophets that all of that which we see happening in America today is written in the Bible. You need only change your diet from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word in order to see it. And that meat is in Bible prophecy. Write to me for the May Health Packet. I'll not be saying too much about that packet on the next broadcast. I want to spend as much time as possible on prophecy, but some of these things in the packet are of utmost importance to you at this time. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. And you older listeners, you folks who have listened to me for some time on many of these radio stations, you remember us in your prayers and with your offerings. We continue to preach and exhort as you give and pray for this radio ministry. In the May packet, you will receive information on how the violation of God's health laws brings illness and disease, information on the danger of vaccinations through the puncturing of your skin to inject a disease of animal poisons directly into your blood, a 20-page excerpt from a 900-page book on health published in 1873, and other material of interest. This is all free and postpaid to you, but when you write, remember what I said about helping us. The address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The announcer will repeat that address in just a moment. Next week, God willing, we shall turn to the books of the prophets. Until I return then, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. Isaiah 14:27. For the Lord of hosts hath purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? The truth of that verse of Scripture demonstrates the uselessness of all efforts by human beings to bring to naught the purposes and plans of the God who created the heavens and the earth. More and more Americans who are patriotic and who love America are concerned with the successes of those who hate our country and our Christ. Many actually despair for the future of our beloved nation, and some already warn of its coming destruction by our enemies both at home and abroad. But if we really believe in the power and sovereignty of God Almighty, we must admit that America will be destroyed or America will survive only as it is in God's plan. If we think the Reds and others who hate America can destroy us against the will of God, then we give them more power than God. And if we believe America's near future and her far-off destiny depend not on our enemies, but on God Almighty, then would it not make sense to search God's Word to find God's purposes and will in relation to this nation and the large number of His Christian people who inhabit it? I think it would, and I am going to spend this and the next few broadcasts searching God's Word for His plans and His purposes for the earth and for America. While you are getting your Bibles to follow with me, I want to offer our free literature packet for May. We offer our radio listeners a number of tracts and articles each month, free for the asking, when you write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the May packet, or you can ask for the health packet, for most of this month's articles are related to your physical health and to that of the nation. Although our Bible study is not on health, I decided to offer this literature right this time because we have collected some information on this. I can't cover it all on the radio. It would take hours, but we've got it in print, and you can have it for free. Since swine seem to be involved, we have reprinted about 20 pages from a medical book originally published in 1873 by a Dr. Edward Foote, and those 20 pages are on swine, showing how easily men get infections, worms, and diseases from eating pig meat. We have another article titled Pestilence in America, giving some statistics which prove what many of you suspect, that the health of the American people has badly deteriorated in the last 50 years. And we quote some Bible passages which tell us why. In spite of all the claims by the so-called medical profession about all their great improvements in our medicine, almost every American over 40 suffers from one or several ailments. Cancer and heart disease, both practically unknown in America a century ago, kill millions in their 50s and 60s, and now affect people in their 20s and 30s. Doctors treat cancer in several ways, but upon investigation, we find that about 90% of their cancer patients die within 2 years of the doctor's treatment. Now, these same doctors tell us they have a cure for this new disease which they can't even name. And some of us wonder if they do. So we have assembled some information on that, information which will startle many of you. It may make some of you angry, but we believe it will make you realize more fully how dependent we are upon God Almighty and how little we can depend upon men. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." God's law forbids Israelites making any cuttings in their flesh in Leviticus 19 and 28 and in Leviticus 21 and verse 5. And then, strangely enough, in Deuteronomy 14, the chapter on clean and unclean animals, God begins with this admonition. "Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the people that are upon the earth." Then follows the law on clean and unclean animals, part of which forbids the eating of swine or even touching their dead carcasses, verse 8. But the admonition not to cut themselves is interesting, especially since the Hebrew word translated here, cut, means to gash and press in. You older folks remember, that is the manner in which vaccinations are made. They actually punctured the skin a number of times and then worked in the vaccine into the flesh. Today, a needle vaccination does essentially the same thing. It gashes a tiny hole in the skin, then the vaccine is forced into the flesh and into the bloodstream. But someone is sure to say, "But Pastor Emery, God could not have been speaking against vaccinations or inoculations because they are modern practices." Not so. In the book, History of Inoculation and Vaccination, we find that the Hindus practiced a form of inoculation for smallpox as long ago as 1500 B.C., they cut their skin and rubbed pus from an infected cow into the cut. This and other superstitious religious rites have kept India the land of plagues for millenniums. From India, this ancient pagan practice spread to other parts of the world, and it is almost a certainty it was practiced in Canaan land before Israel came out of Egypt. It is still practiced today by non-Christian doctors and so-called health departments. That same Hebrew word is translated cut in only three other places in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings 18:28, in relation to the priests of Baal, and twice in Jeremiah, again in relation to pagan religious practices. If you think this is not serious, let me remind you older folks of something you already know but perhaps have never considered how significant it might be, and that is this. One group of people died in greater numbers than any other group in the 1918 flu epidemic, young American soldiers. These were boys in the prime of life, 18 years old, 19 years old, and in their early 20s. They were different from the rest of the population in two specific areas. Number one, they were supposedly healthier, being the pick of America's young men. And number two, they had all been injected with alien substances in a series of vaccinations just weeks before they took sick and died. Think on that before you run out and get yourself vaccinated for the so-called flu. And while you are thinking on it, sit down and write to Pastor Emery and ask for the material on vaccinations and on other health subjects. It is free. Ask for the May packet when you write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and we'll repeat that address a little later on. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the letter to the Romans. Last week, as you recall, we read from the New Testament about the meat of the Word, about things Paul called the deep things of God. He called them mysteries, and so on. And we found in several places, including the last chapter of Romans, that these mysteries, these deep things of the Word, were revealed in the books of the prophets. Paul actually wrote here in verse 25 and 26 of Romans 16, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest or made known, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." So Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ was to be understood through the revealing of these mysteries in the scriptures of the prophets. That would account for the reason why the New Testament epistles quote Old Testament prophets hundreds of times. Today, in Christendom, much of the so-called church doctrine is actually false because ministers are trying to make sense out of the New Testament without any sort of a grasp or knowledge of the Old. You would have the same difficulty in making sense out of any book if you opened it two-thirds of the way through, read the book, and tried to understand it. So, since the mysteries we are to know now after the death and resurrection of Christ have been locked up in the scriptures of the prophets, the logical way to unlock them to our own understanding is to at least read them. And that is what we will do during this and the next several broadcasts. I'm going to take just one theme of the Old Testament and follow it through into the New Testament and show you how both fit exactly what is happening in the world today and in our own nation of America. The theme or the subject we will follow is, what is God's purpose in the earth? In that we will find just what it is God has said He is going to do with the earth. And since our nation of America is on the earth, we should find our future as a nation and as a people also. Now, you just stay with me. Even you folks who just can't wait to leave the earth in the rapture, you stick around and listen, because you just may hear some new things about the earth which will unlock some of the mysteries you have pondered on as to just what God is going to do with this old planet. First, turn to the book of Genesis. Paul said, the scriptures of the prophets, and that would include the writings of Moses, for Moses is called a prophet many places in the Bible. You all know the first verse of your Bible tells us God created the heaven and the earth. So, although the religious songwriters today write almost exclusively of heaven, the earth does share billing in the story of creation. In fact, by the time you get to the 19th verse of the first chapter of the Bible, the Bible story then becomes, for practical purposes, the story of the earth. Heaven, of course, is mentioned several hundred times in the Bible, but it is usually in relation to God. Seldom are we told what actually is going on in heaven, but we are given a detailed account of events upon the earth. The first command from God to man has exclusively to do with the earth. It is in Genesis 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. In the next verses, he tells them of the food from the herbs and so on, and that he has given them the animals also. No mention at all of man in heaven. Chapter 2 is the story of Adam and Eve, Adam being formed of the dust of the earth, given dominion in the Garden of Eden, Eve then being formed, and they disobeyed and were cast out.